FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station, broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Is it Thursday?
It is Thursday.
You have that look.
No, is this the Stones? I always remember. Oh, yeah. Okay, I knew that. I was just
that's
guessing.
You know this is my favorite intro music. I'm not much for the song, just the intro.
It is Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Happy Hour Sports, Steen and Scott, Thursday.
Steen's here. Scott is now here.
I'm over here.
He was gone for a second there.
I was trying to place the song.
Stones. Wow. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website, 1700thechamp.com. Tonight is USC-UCLA Hoops, 8:15 pregame.
Yes, it is.
Do you see how I'm looking going, what day did I just say it was? It is that day. As always, we want to thank sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls,
there it is,
Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Very excited to have them be a part of our show. Let's see, what else do we have? Let's get to the fun things first.
Okay.
Good news was needed. Good news starting to roll in. You don't know if it's great news, but it's good news.
It's a positive direction. Absolutely. DeMar.
He's able to squeeze hands. He was able to write a question. Everybody's like, well, wait, how come he's not talking? He has a tube down his throat.
I believe it's called intubated still.
Yes.
Did you hear what he wrote?
Yes.
What he asked the doctor?
Did we win the game?
Did we win?
Yeah, and I love what the doctor said. You won the game of life, my friend.
Exactly.
You just don't know it yet.
So.
Happy for that, and happy for all the people. And I finally have Denny. excuse me, Denny Kellington is the gentleman on the Buffalo Bills staff that performed CPR.
He's like an assistant trainer or something like that, but he's the one that, yeah.
Yep.
And
it wasn't a short time that he was doing CPR,
no,
which is
almost 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, he's kind of being held up there. Second, charity is up to $7.5 million.
I was gonna say I saw 7.134 this morning. So yeah, it's
moving.
I'm telling you, it's gonna do an aerial photo on 10 mil, dude. When he is able to do it, but
he's acknowledged his family. He's acknowledged the doctors.
Yes.
I think that of all the things, it's the best news the NFL could ever have gotten to say, hey, listen, okay, we did the one thing that we knew we had to do. We said we're just discontinuing the Buffalo Bills Cincinnati Bengals game. That's done.
Well, I don't know if we talked about this. I had it pulled up yesterday, but the biggest thing is the Bills coach,
Sean McDermott
went to.
That's not very good. That I'm the one reminding.
I know.
You.
I'm sorry. I've got. Look at me. Papers in front of me. But anyway, went right after the incident, went right over when they said, hey, take 5 minutes, gather yourself, come back out. The Buffalo's Bill coach, Sean McDermott, went over to the head coach of the Bengals and said, I can't be at this game. I have to be at the hospital with my player.
Yep.
And that's
when Zach Taylor said,
yep,
okay,
he said,
I'm in.
Yep.
I'm with you.
Same page, dude.
And no matter what they say, it'll be over our bleepity bleep bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
Sometimes, I saw this yesterday, you know, people talking about Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell has a very difficult job. He has to babysit 32 billionaires. That's not an easy thing to do.
No.
It's not like babysitting 3-year-olds or 8-year-olds or 14-year-olds. These are gentlemen that think that they pretty much control the world.
Right.
And to make it known to all of them, not here you don't. We have different avenues. So a better situation.
Yep.
And after this weekend, then you just let it all play out. And then I think the best thing about it is it was something like this that happened, and who's going to go on TV and complain? I get it when it's been other things that they've postponed stuff before, and people are like, okay, I don't. That's a all blah 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 blah. This is different.
This is where we get into it again, because now all the better he gets, the more people are less afraid to say what's really on their mind. It's kind of some trashy, nasty stuff, because what they're worried about truly was my fantasy team, my BetMGM, my futures, my this, and this. Right. How are they going to do this if they don't play that game? I heard one of the scenarios that they're going to take basically wins and losses out of it and go winning percentage.
Right.
It's not records. It's
and they're also going to get
ties and stuff. It's winning percentage.
If Kansas City or Cincinnati get the number one seed, they can pick to have the number one seed and have a bye, or they can pick to have a home game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what you would do. Sometimes I am not a big person that says a bye week during the playoffs is a
good
thing.
No, to me, I'm a momentum guy.
If I'm playing well, I want to go. If I have people injured, I take the bye week.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see. But now it can start working its way through, because we can say, hey, look, for his family and for all the doctors and all the nurses and everybody in the hospital staff and everybody in the NFL, that are behind the scenes, not the bigwigs, behind the scenes trying to work all this stuff out, you can take a deeper breath, because you were right yesterday by saying the more positive news that comes out, the more positive it gets to continue to do what you do.
Right, for it to get back to business as usual.
So I think that is a really good thing. Now, you're still Cole Beasley, Josh Allen. There's four or five others is like, hey, listen, I get it, and I get this is our job and all of that. And I can't remember which one of them is like, if I was worked in a warehouse and someone died in the warehouse, it would be tough to come back to work. This is still our brother, and he's getting better. It still doesn't take away from what we stood there and watched, and were a part of for 24 hours that you didn't know what was going to happen, and that's a lot, and it put a lot of strain on them. I'm just glad. When you start hearing stuff like that, I'm really excited about that, because and here's the thing. If that young man has the capability of playing football, he can more. I mean, who's going to say that he can't? He's done something in his life, and now he's got an opportunity to do big things in his life without football, without having
absolutely.
To go through that again.
Right.
And what we didn't know about him, which is the underlying rainbow, right, is just how good a kid he's been, how good a kid he's been since he was young, what he's done with his grandmother, with his mom, with his dad, with his team, with the in high school, with all these different things. Sometimes you think, gosh, if you play football, you can't be a nice person. So it brought to light a very gracious young man who's going to be even more gracious now from everything that's happened. And it's a bright light in the world. And we need those. We need them in sports, because I'm going to lead you into the next one.
Right.
And I'm actually surprised, and actually almost took a step back and wanted to applaud the – Texas Longhorns went ahead and fired Chris Beard today for cause. And for all
I'm surprised it took it this long. I'm sure they had to get legal things in a row.
And the key to that is for cause, because his $30 million contract is now void.
Right.
Because if it wouldn't have been, if it had been Texas just said, hey, listen, we can't take this anymore. It's too murky. They would have negotiated. They're still probably going to go to court to try to negotiate.
Right.
To see what happens. But so the things that we thought were great about, everybody kind of kept it on the high. His girlfriend or whatever, she said it didn't happen. And I felt sorry for a couple of these guys on social media, because man, they just got they got bombarded to where they were out. It kicked them out. And it's like, if you know anything about, or you've read or heard or seen or anything about domestic violence, that's what happens. That having that over them, he goes, oh yeah, nothing happened. Well, what happened to you? I slip and fell. You know,
right? The lies of I don't want to make it worse.
And I want to read this because it was very. This is my favorite word that you use all the time. Curtly. It was very curtly worded on what they.
What was a very curt statement?
Yes. What they said to him. It says, this was the University of Texas. There seems to be an incorrect underlying assumption that criminal process outcome dictates Mr. Beard's employment outcome. But these are different processes. We're different decision makers, and we are weighing different factors. My call to you as Mr. Beard's lawyer was a courtesy to let you know that the athletic director, Chris Del Conte, was prepared to start the termination process of Mr. Beard. That Mr. Del Conte was calling Mr. Beard that morning was for the termination of Mr. Beard. Del Conte said that he was calling and that there were only a short window open for Mr. Beard to resign should he choose to avoid termination. The university does not have a preference for his resignation versus termination. And again, our evaluation of Mr. Beard's fitness for service is contingent on whether he is also convicted on a particular crime or whether those charges are dismissed at some point. Additionally, your letter this morning reveals that Mr. Beard does not understand the significance of the behavior he knows he engaged in or the ensuing events that impair his ability to effectively lead our program. This lack of self-awareness is yet another failure of judgment that makes Mr. Beard unfit to serve as a head coach at our university. For those reasons, the university proceeds to terminate Mr. Beard. The attached letter is termination notice and will be part of his employment file. So he's like, all those little fancy words that you're yelling at us, right, and Chris Beard has been saying in social media, that actually sealed his fate.
Right.
Because you guys don't understand.
Okay, this is a contract was signed to do a job.
Yep.
Within that contract was code of conduct.
Absolutely. We all, okay, even though you might not know you signed those, those.
Oh, no. I've signed a lot in the last 6 months. There is, it's pretty cut and dry of if you really look at it. I mean, this is, you are tarnishing the burnt orange logo.
Yep. That's the one.
And that is where there's some people going,
Here's a funny one, too.
You can't win enough to make that okay.
You know what Texas fans are doing? They're not backing Chris Beard. They're man, he's on an island.
Yeah.
And he is on it. And this is one of the best college basketball coaches in the world.
Yeah.
He's on an island. You know what the faithful's doing? They're going after Steve Sarkisian and telling the Texas administration to fire him for what he did to that young man in the football tunnel.
Right.
Is not becoming
a
football coach and an administrator at the University of Texas.
Right. Don't put your blankety-blanky hands on me.
Yeah, so they're turning on both of them. Mm-hmm. Now, it hurts them. I mean, like I said, Chris Beard, but still hadn't won anything. I mean, he won at Texas right. Tech, and I get that. Right. But Steve Sarkisian hadn't won anything.
Right.
I mean, so he's on a slippery slope here. And the fans turned, kind of said, okay, they're taking care of Chris Beard. Let's see if we can shoot our anger at this dude, because I don't think we want to go to the SEC next year, after next year, with that guy at the top of our football chain.
Okay.
It's really funny.
Who's, don't they got a big name quarterback next year?
Oh,
down
yeah.
Down in Texas?
He had two five-star quarterbacks there and couldn't get either one of them to play well.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Isn't a good look, so.
No, maybe he, would you be surprised if a
larger pocketbook came calling?
If a booster went to the Mannings and go, hey, what do you think of this guy? You know, we're not so sure right now. That's all we needed to say. Yeah. So maybe if we take care of this and we go a different direction, what's this looking like?
Right.
How what would Arch think? Well, I think Arch would be okay with that.
Right. Well, and I think that would be a very, very smart move on their part, because you got to get your house in order.
You definitely got to get
your house in order before you can move forward. So,
and another one, we've spent some time this week talking on this one as well. Even more pretty relevant people backing Patrick McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. The one kid plays for the Iowa Wolves, former Ohio State player.
Yes.
I mean, it's everybody's coming out with, I shouldn't say everybody, but people that understand it and have and are trying to live through it are coming out.
DJ Stroud.
Right.
Just and said, the things that I went through, I didn't know how to handle them.
Right.
And it affected my play, and I needed to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we had Chip in here, that Chip saying how he is now from how he was when he first came,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. And I think one of the amazing things is that that's a good organization with good people. And it's kind of a, you know, he's young. I mean, he can't be, I bet if he's 20, I'd be surprised.
Right.
I don't, he's either 20 or 21 maybe. You know, you get in with some older players and you can work through stuff like
right.
that. And I think For Chip to come out and say that after not being asked or anything, I mean, you can tell Chip's a big fan, and he is fun to watch. I mean, he is a ton of fun.
And from what I've heard on Patrick, is he didn't abandon the team.
No.
He didn't crawl in the hole to be by himself. He's with the team.
Now, the other funny that came out of that was Flip Rebecca was interviewed, and that's Patrick's roommate. And he goes, I had no idea. He goes, that's how. I mean, he actually talked very eloquently about it, saying, you know, that's the problem with this is you don't know.
Right.
And now that I do, and I kind of look back, I get it, and now I'm here. Because
right.
I didn't know I wasn't there.
Right.
But I must not have been there because it didn't help. And I think.
It's easy sometimes, easy a lot of times, just smile and nod.
And I swear to you, I think it's helping Fran too. I really do.
I agree.
And that's a good thing. We got plenty of stuff. There's so many things we're going to talk about
Ages.
Today. Holy cow. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're glad you're in here with us. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Be right back.
Iowa Sports. Here's Steen on Sports 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday. Last segment of this first hour already. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Scotty's sitting across from me. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ. At @happyhour_SS, @ScottBrower_13, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. USC UCLA at 8:15 pregame tonight. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides, designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security to your facility. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities and development, project management, field or service technicians, and many, many more for outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Once again, Woodman Controls, the control. It's a huge deal, and appreciate everything that they do. Okay, let's see here. My turn. I got a couple of places I wanted to go, and I didn't. I don't know where I.
Just came across my phone again, where the Harbaugh game of he's going here, he's going here, he'll only go there, and then the reiteration of I just bleed maize and blue.
Okay,
I mean,
let's start
I'm
there.
Sorry, just,
I know I'm gonna take that. So I'll do the next one. So we'll go on that one because I love that. Because I'm the same thing. Jim Harbaugh saying he's aware of rumors and speculation. Dude, it's you. They don't say, hey, Jim Harbaugh's people are talking to the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers. They say they're talking to you. You are the rumors and the speculation.
Exactly. Are you using third person, Jim?
Just
come on, Jim.
Tell Michigan, listen, you made me take a pay cut. Give it to me back 10 times. And I'll sign a lifetime contract that I will dish you for in a couple of years.
I was going to say, yeah, let's go back and look again. They lost to TCU. They're not gonna give him accolades for that.
No,
he could have got the tenfold what he got back
if
he would have won the championship.
He's hitting some transfer portal guys. I have no idea. Michigan played Iowa this year, right? And these Michigan guys are transferring from Michigan to Iowa.
Yeah.
What? I have no idea. Listen, if he leaves to go to the NFL, Michigan will have a – but they've had – I'd like to say that Michigan's had a great track record on hiring coaches after really good coaches, but they have not. So – but I'm also – I don't see Michigan going, you know what, let's get everybody together and let's pony up some money to keep Jim here, you know. And you know, that doesn't – that's not happening in Iowa City either. I mean, people aren't sending money to Iowa City to keep Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz. I mean, they're not. They honor and love Kirk Ferentz as well as they should.
They should. But he's earned that. But I mean,
still have to get into the 21st century sometime.
And I'm sure it's by design. The radio silence. Excuse me. Quote, using air quotes of radio silence, of not hearing anything.
I'm not even sure Brian Ferentz is still living at home. Maybe mom kicked him out, and she's ready to kick Kirk out, too. You guys are both out of here. You gone.
I at least tell me you're trying to move in a direction. I don't say you have to make big sweeping changes as you should, but
And I'm loving they're getting wide receivers and all that. Dude, you need offensive linemen.
Yes.
You're an offensive lineman school.
Which is interesting. You would say offensive lineman because you saw what happened up in Ames. Correct?
Yes.
The offensive line coach from UNI.
That's where I was heading.
Okay.
So, I'll let you have that one, too.
Fire away.
Ryan Clanton.
Yep.
Former, now, UNI offensive line coach and offensive coordinator. So, he's had roles in both. And
is he special teams guy by chance?
No, but I'm thinking that offensive line and we need help there.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
That's a huge hire.
If you
see the accolades that are coming across on the hire, it's a big hire. I think our offensive line play was stagnant. I don't think it was. I think they were in better shape. I think they were better flexibility wise. I think they were bigger, faster, stronger. I don't think you can scheme offensive line and not just block. You can scheme. I mean, these teams that are in shotgun all the time have to learn how to scheme their offensive line.
It's why you don't just throw, okay, I want the 11 most talented guys and throw them on the field.
No.
Because you can take B-plus guys and throw them on the field with an A-plus coach, and they'll beat the A-plus players. Yeah. So.
And you can put some A-plus players, but your leader is usually a C-plus talent, A-plus brain.
Yes.
And that, how many times have we seen that at Iowa, at Iowa State, all kinds of places, that the glue isn't the five-star kid. The glue is a kid who's fought every day to get where he's at. And listen, I think that the whole coaching situation up in Ames was stagnant and they needed to make changes and nobody thought they would. And they did. Matt Campbell, not that I understand that Brian Ferentz is Kirk's son and it's family.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. So there's close. There's nothing closer than Tom Manning and Matt Campbell. And that,
I know, they've been buddies
that
since
deteriorated
school.
Because of, you know, I think Matt wanted Tom to change things. I think Tom wanted Matt to go to bat for him, and they both just kind of didn't do anything, and it got ugly.
Well, you can take two really good friends and say, you know what, we can do this together, succeed in a task,
right?
But if you don't, I mean, yeah, you still want to be really good friends, but you have to look at we're really good under certain circumstances, but you know, you have to acknowledge the limitation of just because you're having a good time of being, as I'm staring at you, hey, I enjoy being around you. If we get letters and things like that, that you guys are horrible, then, you know, I blame you. But I mean,
we figure something out. I was thinking it a little differently. I'm going, you know, we're really good at radio. I can't think of a tomorrow you going, hey, I need to fix my house. I need you to come over and help me. You're not calling me to fix your house.
No.
So
that is 100% correct. That is 100% correct. But you're good at finding the high life in my fridge. I know
that. Yes, I am. I can do that.
But no, back to that. I mean, it's
That's the best you could come up with that I could find high life in your fridge. Wow.
No, you're really good at cooking on the pit boss.
I'm giving you kudos for radio time, and you say I can get your Miller Lite for you. It's high life, though. It is high life. Right.
Went to G-Migs last night, and they ran out of high life.
Really?
Evidently, there's more people in this town that drink it than I do. But anyway, G-Migs was great last night. Love that place. Back to Campbell. Yes. Not because we get kind of, you know, fishing with dynamite here sometimes. But the Colt Campbell thing, he is at that level where he has to understand that it has to be bigger than this feels right, but it's not working. He has to acknowledge the fact that it's not working and rise above it.
Yes.
And you said it, it's painful, but it's not working. Right. I have to move on from it.
And they got younger at that position and probably having this guy come, same kind of age,
it fits the mold of what's going on.
And not to let Matt Campbell off the hook too. This is what I want to see more of with Matt Campbell. I want to see more of Matt Campbell from 4 years ago, where even when bad things happen, he went and cheered his kids up and not went out and made a ding-dong of himself yelling at referees.
Exactly.
If anybody hasn't figured out by now, and after watching the basketball game last night, we're going to get to that in a second, when you blatantly have two plays in a row where our guys get thrown to the floor so they can get a steal, I don't know what it is. I don't know what gods that we made angry in the officiating world, but we have. And so we just don't get calls. But barking about not getting calls doesn't get you any more calls.
If you bark loud enough, they change the call, don't they?
No, and from a couple of bowl games ago that it cost us big time.
Right.
Sometimes this year it cost us big times because he's, you know what I wish he would have done more than yelling at officials? Himself coaching the damn special team.
Yes.
Somebody.
I know. And as much as we see that there are strokes of change going through Ames, I've yet to hear what the plan is for special teams.
Yeah, I thought they hired a special teams coach, but maybe they haven't.
I thought that would have been more fanfare.
You would have thought. Okay. You're probably right on that one. So,
can I ask you a really way, way too early question to ask about Iowa State football for next year?
Yeah.
How many games is Hunter Decker going to start the entire year next year?
I don't even know if he'll start the first game.
Serious?
I don't.
Wow.
I think you have to reprogram him, and I don't know how quickly they can reprogram him.
Okay.
Because by the end of the year, not only did the offense not fit him or his style, you put him in. A lot of it was his fault, but a lot of it is their own fault. They put him in no win situation.
Exactly.
I mean, listen. We love T, right? T sat up there and could tell plays that they were going to run. And it's not like T is an offensive guru in football.
Stop it. He is.
But he looked good doing it. I'm telling you that.
Hour one down.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. Be right back.